All right, back talking a little Baylor and Big 12 college football. This is Bryce Cherry alongside my good friends John Werner, Jason Orks, and Chris Oliver, pushing all the important high-tech buttons. It's a whole show that he's got going here. Guys, after nearly 2 weeks of chatter about this, the Jared Stidham era at Baylor is finally almost upon us. Stidham and the Bears take on Kansas State in Manhattan Thursday night. Both the Bears and the Wildcats had open dates leading up to this game, so they both had, you know, some time to prepare. Which team does that extra time favor, and how do you guys see this game unfolding?
I got to think it helps the Bears more just because Stidham needed a lot of time to work with the ones. You know, he's been working with mostly the twos during practice. And, you know, just kind of so they can kind of get used to each other and get used to the idea of Jarrett Stidham stepping in to be the starting quarterback. But I also think it does help K-State. I mean, Bill Snyder said this week, they just hadn't seen much of Stidham. They even went back and got some high school film on him.
I wonder how much that even helps. You know, I mean, you're talking about a whole nother level of football. But
well, you know, they had like 10 days to kill. So
why not, right?
Yeah, why not? Yeah. Oh, anyway, yeah, I see Baylor winning this game. I don't know if I'm going to pick them. There's a spread now, 17. I might go a little bit under that, but I think they'll win.
Haven't really had a game that close. I mean, obviously the Iowa State game turned out to be, 18 points. So, but they still have yet to really be threatened in a game. I mean, do you see this one, Jason, coming down to the wire?
I never underestimate a Bill Snyder coach team. Right. You know, we've been talking about that for weeks, I think. Just, you know, every time we ask, you know, who's going to win a Kansas State game, the other team could be a whole lot better, and I'm still going to be very hesitant to really pick a blowout against Kansas State just because, you know, like you said, 10 days to prepare. And I think, honestly, you know, obviously, yes, it helps Baylor a lot because of the fact that, you know, it's Stidham's first start. He gets some time. He gets some timing with the receivers. You know, he gets some time in there and, you know, really to kind of start to feel like it's his job, I guess, at that point. Like he is, you know, the number one guy in there. But I think, you know, obviously it helps from that standpoint for Baylor. But, you know, bye weeks help teams with really good coaches. Both teams have really good coaches. But I don't know if anybody has one as good as Bill Snyder. I mean, he's absolutely phenomenal and has been doing it for a long time. I mean, obviously, you know, no disrespect to Art Briles. He's a great coach as well. But, you know, I think you give Snyder give him a little extra time. I think that really helps him a lot.
Yeah, I think in terms of the time to prepare, it's a little bit of a wash. I mean, both these guys can coach. Both of them are going to figure out some things. Art probably figuring out some things to help Jared as much as possible. And then Snyder on the other end to try to disrupt him and take him out of his comfort level. You know, when you're 90 years old or whatever Snyder is, extra time is a good thing. You know, I mean, you don't have that much time left on the earth. So, you know, I'm sitting here upsetting the one Kansas State fan out there listening. But, you know, I'm with you guys. I think Baylor should win this game on talent. I think that's what helps Jarrett so much is the fact that, you know, he's got a great line around him. He's got, you know, the best receivers in the country, arguably, and a great running game. So they're probably not going to ask him to do more than what he can handle.
So you're saying Corey Coleman's good?
Yeah, Corey Coleman's not bad.
Okay.
That guy can play a little bit.
Okay.
So let's speculate for a moment. Let's say, because we are allowed to speculate here on the podcast. Let's say Stidham goes out, plays great, and Baylor goes 5-0 the rest of the regular season, wins a third straight Big 12 title. If they go undefeated, I'm sure they'd be in the college football playoff as well. So by the time spring rolls around, are we looking at a quarterback controversy with him and Seth Russell?
Oh yeah, it'd be an Ohio State level quarterback controversy.
I mean, it'd have to be, wouldn't it?
It'd have to be. Well, not only that, you know, Russell's not going to be ready for the spring. So, you know, Jarrett would have even more time to build his case. So that would be a high-level quarterback controversy. That'd be all we would write about for a month.
Right. That's a good point.
I don't know about a controversy, but I definitely think it'd be a full-scale competition. You know, I guess a lot of the controversy depends on how the guys handle it and all that kind of stuff, whether it becomes a full-blown, you know, controversy. But, you know, obviously it'd be a great problem for Baylor to have. You know, the two guys that, you know, absolutely, if you put them in there, can get the job done. I mean, obviously Ohio State is kind of had the same thing. I would say if I'm Briles, the one thing I don't want to do is kind of make the mistake. I think Urban Meyer made a mistake this year of not choosing a quarterback until the absolute last minute. Mm-hmm. I think if you're Briles, you definitely want to make that call sometime during fall practice so the guys know who's going to be in there. They know, you know, who's the leader of that offense, and, you know, they can kind of start to build it around him and have everything prepared. Whereas I feel like with Ohio State, you know, it's two very different styles of quarterbacks. You know, maybe it's a little more similar here, but, you know, just Cardale Jones has the big arm, you know, can make the big throws and all that stuff. But JT Barrett's a guy that just kind of seems to be able to get it done in more ways. So very different styles, you know, and I think that that really hurt them this year. So that would be my biggest advice is just name a guy, you know, with a little bit of time to really prepare for the offense to be run by that guy.
You always hate to see a guy lose his job due to injury. And you would hate that for Seth Russell, who, you know, has played as well as anyone in the country,
yes.
You know, through these first, you know, seven games. That said, I mean, it would absolutely be a full-scale competition slash controversy, whatever you want to call it. You know, I think it would be a dilemma for Art Briles mm-hmm. because, you know, you'd have a guy then in Stidham who's proven himself against really good competition. And then you'd have a guy in Seth who, you know, has put in the time and the work and been here for a few years. So it would be interesting to see how that played out. As Jason said, not the worst problem in the world to have.
Exactly.
All right. Well, now I'd like to read to you guys a letter from one of our loyal podcast listeners. It goes like this. Dear Bryce, for some reason, Jason and John just don't listen to you about Oklahoma State. As you predicted, the Cowboys got it done on the road against Texas Tech last week to remain undefeated. Are John and Jason finally going to listen to your brilliance and admit Oklahoma State is shaping up as a serious contender, even with TCU coming to town this week? Signed, Janet C. Hewitt. So what do you guys say? Are you all in on the Cowboys now?
Well, I never saw this letter in the paper.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, this is email. You know, I don't publish everything that comes in.
Okay, and this Janet C.,
mm-hmm.
why not the whole last name?
Well, you why know, just the initial? We like to respect people's anonymity around here.
I think we need to explore that a little more.
Well, yeah, we may have to do some investigative journalism.
Well, no matter what Janet C. says,
right?
I am not all in on the Cowboys. In fact, I'm picking TCU this week in Stillwater. I have gained more respect for the Cowboys every week.
Mm-hmm.
I thought at the start, you know, some of those close wins, like over Texas and West Virginia, I thought they were pretty fortunate to win those. They were
sure.
getting some pretty good breaks. But now, I mean, you know, Tech gave them probably their best shot. Well, with considering what they have on defense.
Right.
You know, God, which is
man.
A bit of a crutch.
It was the prototypical Big 12 football game
yeah.
in terms of just no defense at all.
But the Red Raiders, you know, they had a 17-0 lead in Lubbock, and the Cowboys came back and won.
Yeah.
That's a pretty big deal.
It's impressive.
But still, I'm taking TCU. I think TCU is coming off its best game of the season, 40-10 over West Virginia. And I think they're going to continue to play well. They're getting guys back on defense. I just think they're really good right now.
I also want to know who this Janet C. is. I'm going to need to hear that entire last name at some point. We got to find that. But anyway, no, I'm with John. I think, you know, TCU is a better football team. Obviously, going on the road in Stillwater, you know, anytime you go on the road, I think in the Big 12, there's a little bit of – I guess, I don't know, consternation about it. I don't know. You always have to kind of worry about it a little bit going on the road. But, you know, like John said, you know, TCU's playing great football, played a really good game last week, is getting, you know, healthier, which is really kind of scary. And I think Trevon Boykin, you know, kind of got off to a slow start this year, but I think he's really starting to become the guy that we saw last year and was a Heisman Trophy type player. And, you know, if he's that, it's going to be really hard for anybody to beat him. You know, Oklahoma State, again, obviously they gave up 53 points last week. So if they would have played a team with even a shred of defense, probably would have lost that game. But, you know, we know that Texas Tech, that's not exactly the Red Raiders' MO. Of course, you know, again, it's a Big 12 game, so there's not a lot of teams with a lot of defense. But I think TCU has enough defense where they can slow them down and maybe hold them to 49 or so and then score 53 and 55 right. themselves.
Well, believe it or not, I may end up listening to both of you dummies and picking TCU. But while John, you say Oklahoma State's been fortunate to win some games, I think you could say the same thing about TCU this year.
Yeah,
certainly K-State came down the wire. They've had a few others. Tech down to the wire. So they've been fortunate. But I also think for both of those teams, games like that teach you how to win games. I mean, teach you how to win close games. And so certainly Oklahoma State has the home field advantage. We've talked about that, how they have TCU, Baylor, and OU all coming to them. They're set up perfectly for this. But I am with you guys on Boykin especially. He's playing at another level right now. I think as well as Corey Coleman has played – at receiver, that's how well Trevon Boykin has played at quarterback, and that's a great Big 12 Offensive Player of the Year race right there between those two guys. Boykin probably will get a lot of Heisman consideration, especially because he is a quarterback, and deservedly so. I mean, they do find a way to win games between these two teams now. I think they've won 26 in a row between TCU and Oklahoma State. OSU has a 10-game winning streak, and TCU a 16. So that'll end for somebody on Saturday, and that'll be a fun one. I'm looking forward to that.
Yeah.
From a Big 12 perspective, is it better if both TCU and Baylor win out through November to set up that ultimate Black Friday showdown?
Yeah, I think that's the best case scenario for the Big 12. I think the Big 12 is going to have an unbeaten team to make the college football playoff. To me, the biggest fear for the Big 12 is if Oklahoma wins out. And they're playing so well, I think they have a chance
do that. They absolutely have a chance.
But they have that one loss to Texas, and that that could be a killer. I mean, if, you know, that's their only loss of the year and they're trying to get in that college football playoff. I mean, we'll see if, you know, the OU name carries some weight if that happened. But, I think if Baylor, TCU, if they were both unbeaten and, you know, one team finished the season unbeaten, I think that's probably the best case scenario for the Big 12.
The worst thing that could happen for the Big 12 is for the winner of that game, Baylor, if Baylor were to win that game, would be if Baylor were to lose to Texas the next week. You know, that could you imagine could you imagine how that would play out? I mean, obviously, the Big 12, yes. So to answer the question, yes, this is exactly what the Big 12 needs. It needs both of those teams to be undefeated. And like I said, you know, because of that, if I'm the Big 12 commissioner, I'm sitting up there just rooting for TCU. Like, openly, just rooting for TCU, just praying that they win that game so you don't even have to worry about what happens the next week. You know, it's their last game of the season. They would be undefeated, and they would be in. You know, if you're an undefeated team in a Power 5 conference, unless something just absolutely weird happens that season, you're going to be in the playoffs. So I think that's what I would want. But again, you know, like John made a great point there. I think, you know, Oklahoma has been playing great football. You know, that was such a blip on the radar.
Yeah.
You know, losing to Texas. I think
the more time passes, the more you go, how did that happen?
Looks like an absolute fluke. But again, that's a rivalry game. Weird things happen there. But, you know, I think that, you know, like I said, I just think that, you know, obviously having that matchup would definitely be the best thing for the conference.
I tend to agree with you guys. Again, I'll play a little bit devil's advocate. I think the best case scenario for the Big 12 is for an undefeated team to come out, whether that is Baylor, TCU, or Oklahoma State. You know, for the conference, you know, an undefeated team is the best case scenario, because as you guys said, I think it's a lock. Forget about it. I mean, I don't think there's any kind of doubt an undefeated team in the Big 12 is getting in. Personally, I think a one-loss Big 12 team would still have a really, really good shot. You could argue that they had a really good shot last year and were left out. And I personally think the fact that they were left out last year maybe bolsters the Big 12's case a little bit this year. You know, these people that pick the rankings are humans, and you know, all of that stuff, I think, goes into their thinking and their arguments. And the fact is, I mean, we don't have a lot of respect for the ACC. I mean, Clemson's a good team. There's no question about it. But is the ACC better than the Big 12? I don't think so.
No way.
And, I mean, I would throw the Pac-12 in there, too. Right now, if Stanford loses again, I don't think the Pac-12 gets in. So, you know, the Pac-12 really needs Stanford to keep winning. But and doesn't Stanford still play Notre Dame, I believe?
I think so.
Yeah, so, you know, they've still got a big game on its schedule. But so ultimately, whether it's Baylor, TCU, Oklahoma State, or maybe a one-loss Oklahoma, I don't know. I like the Big 12's chances this year, but who knows? We don't know how that stuff's going to come out.
Right.
Finally, this past week, there was a kind of a fun little video that went viral, as the kids say. It was poking fun at the stereotypical Big 12 fan, and it was called Things Big 12 Fans Say. What would your own additions to that list be?
Well, if I was Texas Tech, I would say, why didn't we put even more manure on Texas A&M's bus the last time they came to Lubbock?
Excuse me. Oh, my gosh.
Okay. If I'm a Kansas fan, I would say, why did we schedule that hoop scrimmage the night before the 11 a.m. Baylor-Kansas kickoff?
Right.
Because nobody came to the football game.
Nobody came to the football game. They all went to the basketball game. That's a good one.
I think I'm going to pick on Texas a little bit. If I'm a UT fan, I'm just saying, well, we're better than everybody else, so, you know, it doesn't matter what we do on the football field.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's what they say.
That's pretty much what they say. But I'd actually probably go to a UT player who the last couple of years have been known to say, well, we're still Texas and they're still Baylor.
Oh. Yeah.
But I don't know what that means exactly at this point, because I don't think that's a compliment for Texas on the football field at this point with the way that they've played over the past few years. So, you know, I think those are really the big ones there. And if I'm Oklahoma, it's just, how in the world did we lose to Texas?
Yeah.
How did we do that?
Yeah, yeah.
Nobody else is doing that. How are we the only ones that are losing to Texas?
Right. I think you both sound like exactly like these fans. here's what Baylor and TCU fans would say. Mm. All right, Baylor, they would say, Gary Patterson is an infant. That's what they would say. And then TCU would counter with, well, at least we're not in Waco, which that actually may have been in the video. But I would say if I was Baylor in that case, I would be like, okay, Cowtown, hashtag eye roll. I mean, you know, it's Fort Worth. I mean, is it like Shangri-La? I mean, you know, is it that much better than Waco?
Hmm.
I say no. Not here at the Waco Trib, it's not.
Well, I'd also say if I'm Baylor, TCU, why don't we do our playing on the field instead of painting things around campus?
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
I like it.
Yeah.